You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
In England, they did a study and they found that about one in five or one in six marriages, someone actually reached out through social media, and that led from one thing to another. Emotional infidelity led to a sexual infidelity.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
All right. Well, once again, it is Momentum. Hello there. And wherever you are around Australia, welcome to this week's show with Tim and Des. Really great to have you tuning in. A point to our website before we do that, momentumaustralia.org. Send us some feedback, maybe ask us a question, have a listen to some of the previous shows. And of course, you can consider financially supporting Momentum too. We'd really appreciate that. Des, my co-host, partner, good friend, are you well this week?
Yes, yes, I certainly am. And you know, it's great. We just love doing this. We really love helping men to succeed in life and do life better. And just one of the things I want to mention is our care line, Momentum Care Line, brought to us by our friends at Careline Communications, and they're a ministry in their own right. And they provide this service to us. And it's 1-800-000-MEN. 1-800-000-636 is available from 7 days a week from 9 o'clock to 11 p.m. That's 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 p.m. 1-800-000-636. And there's a team of people who are available there confidentially. If you haven't got somebody in your world you can talk to and you're struggling with whatever it is in your world, please feel free to reach out to our care line, 1-800-000-636.
Yeah, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons as to why you might do that. One of them might be marriage. It is a wonderful thing, but let's be honest, marriage is not easy at times. And a good marriage certainly requires intentional time, effort, self-sacrifice, understanding, and a lot of patience.
And, you know, we at Momentum get quite a few emails each week from men reaching out to us, asking us for help and advice about a certain area of their lives. One of the most common emails is around marriage. Things like, my marriage is in trouble. My wife no longer talks to me. My wife and I are no longer intimate. We're living separate lives. And I don't want to be there anymore. What can I do?
You know, the truth is all marriages have problems at some stage, but it's how we tackle these problems that will determine whether we allow these things to make us stronger as a couple or whether eventually, sadly, the issues will cause the ultimate divide of divorce.
This week, we're looking at 12 of the most common problems in marriage with the CEO of Focus on the Family Australia, Brett Ryan. Welcome back to Momentum.
It's a pleasure being with you once again.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the 12 common problems in marriage.
Well, it's hard to put them on a numerical number because I can vouch that we'll may share all 12 of them. Yeah. And there'll be people say, well, where does my problem fit in?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's an inexhaustible list. But we also know that, you know, marriage is, as you said so rightly, Tim, it takes a lot of effort. And anything worth fighting for is going to take a lot of effort on your part. But it's doable. And when you succeed and you have that long life marriage, it just gives you that feeling of success, not just for, you know, your own self, but for the legacy behind, you know, for the children that see and have that generation to generation to actually, you know, say, hey, you know, it can be done. It's hard. It's effort. It can be exhausting, but it is so rewarding.
Yeah. Let's go straight to number one, which is lack of communication. And I mean, let's be honest, when you're not communicating effectively, let alone at all, but effectively, a lot of things can get misconstrued, misinterpreted, and it can lead to a whole bunch of then conflict and confusion. So let's talk about lack of communication, Brett. What are your thoughts around, I suppose, why that might be? Because obviously we can say one thing, but it might not be heard the way that we mean it. I mean, just speaking to that space for us, lack of communication.
Exactly right. You might say something, like you might even ask the question, how are you feeling to your spouse? And they say, I'm fine. Yes. And but you're not even between the lines, because we all know that fine stands for freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Or you ask them, can I go out and play golf? And they said, yes. And you're not reading between. You hear the words that you want to hear. But there's a tone, there's a body language. So communication is not just what you hear, it's what is behind it. And we're not mind readers, but that only comes, you know, if we ask the right questions. You know, help me understand. And so communication is vital for a healthy relationship. And it's something that we at Focus on the Family Australia want to be able to help men and women to be able to communicate more effectively. And I've shared in another podcast about the fact that we, you know, we've got a two-part series called Caring Communication Conflict. Some tips, things to avoid, things to assist in how you communicate. And we've got two ears, one mouth. We should use it in that ability and use it in that ratio. Yeah. Communication, the greatest asset you have are your two ears and an engaged heart and an engaged mind and willing to listen.
Brett, speaking to this space where guys might be in a marriage or a relationship right now where it seems that all communication is almost conflict, right? Where they're trying to communicate and they've reached such a point in the marriage where it doesn't really matter what they say, the response is either aggressive or exactly what you said, one word, but you can hear the tone that it's not good. Speak to guys in that space. How do they start to change that situation?
I wish it was easy to say, hey, you put this trigger and everything's going to be easy. You know, like, but we have to find out why the conflict is there. And we run a marriage course called Real Life, Real Love. And in part of that course, and we also ran a marriage retreat, and we talk about the reactive cycle. You know, these are the things that trigger us. And once we're triggered, we react and we say things or do something that is not healthy. And it's because we're not communicating what we want. And we also have to know that there's the situation where it's called the relational responsibilities, the principles of relational responsibilities. And our responsibility is we have to look after our own backyard. We can't worry about what the other person says. And often you hear kids, she made me, he made me do something, or may made me angry. Well, if you as soon as you point the finger and say they did it, no, you are in control. You are in control of your actions, your words, your attitude. And so you have to have a look in the mirror. They can influence, but they do not control what we say. So when people say, oh, well, we're always in arguments, that's because you haven't worked out some strategies about how to circumvent or to be the thing that's going to cause the wedge, if you like, to be the circuit breaker in that conflict cycle that so easily can happen time and time and time again. And once you understand that, what makes you tick, then you can address it.
Yeah, and what makes your partner tick, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, and that comes through communication, you know, and sharing that. And people who say, well, I had a recent, doing a presentation, someone actually asked me that same question that you said, Tim, you know, it always ends in arguments. And so they decided not to go out on dates because it always ends in arguments. I'm thinking, well, no. Mm. It's because you're not addressing, you know, the communication. I said, why don't you go out with a goal to go out and say, determined that we're not going to talk about anything deep and meaningful, just be very light and you'll come away from saying, hey, we didn't argue. Tick. Wonderful. Why don't we try this again and build that own, pardon the pun, its own momentum, because it starts being successful when we actually say, hey, we can have conversations that don't end in disaster.
Yeah. Number two is lack of intimacy. And notice it didn't say lack of sex, but I mean, intimacy and sex, I mean, they're kind of similar, but they're two own entities. I mean, let's be honest, you can create intimacy without having the physical intimacy. And I think, again, for a lot of guys, this can be a struggle because, I mean, let's be honest, we like the physical, but we've got to create the physical outside of the bedroom via intimacy before we get the physical.
We talk about emotional intimacy, and that's the uncomfortable things for many guys. They don't want that touchy-feeling type of conversations, but they want the sex, they want the physical content, but they don't want the emotional content. And ironically is that how God's designed us, we're so different. And for women to be intimate, they need to be emotionally connected. And for men to be emotionally connected, they need sex. So we're actually, it's a little bit of a tension. So we need to have that balance about how we can actually do life. And let's put it this way. If you are in an environment that is not safe, you know, like they feel threatened, they feel unsafe, then sexual intimacy will never take place, because sexual intimacy comes out of giving and wanting to give to the other person. But when one feels safe and threatened, they close it. It's like a clamshell, and it's very hard to open it up. But if you're open and feeling safe and they can share their feelings and emotions without being told, you know, that or invalidated, then sexual intimacy as a net result. But it's not the goal. We want to connect with our spouses on a much more deeper way. Rather than just the physicality, there is that emotional connection and relational connection.
We had Brian Andrews. I don't know if you know Brian Andrews. He's a pastor in Queensland. And he was talking about intimacy, and he made the statement that if you want intimacy with your wife, you start first thing in the morning, not when you get home from work.
I think I wrote an article called Foreplay Starts in the Kitchen.
Yes.
But it also includes, and as I think I've jokingly said, intimacy comes with a vacuum cleaner and cleaning and doing things with the kids. Yes. It is a day's worth of foreplay, connecting on various levels. And I've said in another previous podcast about serving the other person, not from what you get, but what you can give. And that's what relationship is. It's that sacrifice. And yes, there may be dividends, but if you go in with a motive, if I do A, B, and C, look at me, I've done all these good things, and the motivation, the end goal was sexual intimacy, then your motivation wasn't to be loved.
Yeah. A shower and a shave helps, just FYI too, but we'll move on from there. Number three, different life stages. I mean, that can be challenging, right, within a marriage. If we're at different stages, we're facing different things, we're feeling uneasy about that, or things are happening. Maybe somebody's got a new interest and we don't like that. Or, I mean, there's these different things that happen along the course of a marriage that can try and pull us apart.
Yeah, I mean, we start off with marriage that, it's all going to be roses and we're going to have, sex on tap because we're married and everything's going to be wonderful. And then life comes, we've got children and then we've got financial situations. Then we've got older parents, and then we're going through menopause, and then we're going to have our own personal health issues. Different life stages and how we process it. So staying connected and close to one another is vital. And we approach things differently, and that's okay, but coming together and having that reconnecting, we can overcome the difficulties and that's going to come our way. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And whether it's financial, whether it's, our children making poor decisions, staying close together and knowing that, if we stay close together and we don't become combatants, we are teammates doing life together. We can go through these different stages.
Mm. Number four is a biggie, infidelity. And that's not necessarily about just physical cheating either. I mean, there's other ways that we can be unfaithful to our partners, right?
Very much so. We can talk about emotional infidelity, and that seemed to be increasing, that we connect or we share with somebody who we may not be physically connecting to them, but we can actually emotionally connect. And that's us as significant of lack of trust. And that could be even via the social media platforms, sharing something and texting. I've dealt with a couple at a camp, and he was sending quite intimate texts to this other woman and thinking it's okay. And his wife approached him, and he was clueless. He had no idea. He says, "Well, I haven't had an affair. I'm just connecting with them." And they were talking and discussing at late at night. And he just disconnected from the reality of what that unfaithfulness is. And a healthy relationship is built on trust. And when trust is broken, then it's very hard to earn that. And it takes time to earn that trust once again.
Yeah, and the next one obviously is linked to that in some way, and that's about jealousy. And, and guys very quickly, for all the wrong reasons, can, become excessively jealous. And it just destroys a marriage, doesn't it?
Oh, very much so. I mean, we can have jealousy for all the things. We can have the social media jealousy. Look at those people. look at their wonderful meals. Look at their wonderful holidays. Look at their wonderful family. They all seem to be smiling. And we can be very jealous of that. And that can cause a wedge because, let's face it, if you're comparing yourself to other people, then it's very hard to keep up that standard and, to provide for your family like you see other people. And that causes a wedge. That jealousy is a seed for resentment and bitterness. And I talk about that often. But the fact is we need to make sure that we are not we can have that sort of like that would be nice, but it'll be a nice want, but it's not a need. Yeah. As long as we're together and we're doing our life together, we don't have to be jealous about what other people have and say, because we know that people who are, uber wealthy can still be very unhappy. And I know people who are very, very poor and having rich lives, and because they're doing it together.
Brett, what if that jealousy is actually internal, as in not external when I look around at other people, but I'm actually jealous of my partner. I'm actually jealous of my husband or my wife because they're just so much more confident than I am, or they have more friends than I do, or they just handle these things better and it really irritates me, or they're better cleaners, or, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, I mean, it's true. I mean, we laugh, but it's true. We can have that internal jealousy towards our partner. We may not mean to, but there could be a side of it that secretly we go like, man, that really irritates me.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we have different personalities, and it'll be nice that we're exactly the same, but we're not exactly the same. Life would be very boring if we're exactly the same. We should embrace our differences. And even though we may be saying, hey, I would like that, but you have to be content with who you are. I mean, the Apostle Paul talked about that. I've been content with very little and I've been content with very much. The same thing with you. Say, you know, I want to cheer you on. I love how you're so good with people. I love your confidence. I love that. I wish I could have it. It's not me, but I'm not going to. My life is not poorer because I'm not the same as you. I'm going to be content with who I am and my identity, who Christ loves me for who I am. And then we don't need to be jealous.
Yeah. And the next one is about, over time, it's so easy to fall into the area of boredom, you know, where you're with somebody every day. It's no excitement. It's just day after day after day. How do you overcome that?
Well, we can all get in ruts, and we can also take our spouse for granted, and we have to make the effort. And that's the reason why we highly recommend going on date nights. And it doesn't have to cost you money. And for all you frugally minded people like me, I put my hand up for that. It doesn't have to cost you money, but actually spending intentional time talking about those things and enjoying life together. You know, you can do things apart. Yes, that's good to have your own enjoyment, your own hobbies, your own interests, but then find things you can work together. I mean, for my wife and I, we love playing card games, and we would play card games nearly every day of the week. Like, it's just something that we do over breakfast or a dinner. We have our meal, we're talking, and we're playing card games. It's never boring. We can have conversations with lots of good conversations, and there's silence. We just enjoy each other's company. And so we don't get bored. Now, as I said, it takes work, and that means that maybe have a look in the mirror. How are you going in the romance style? You know, are you just in the rut and treating her like, you know, your errand person or your slave? You cook for me, you clean for me, and not showing appreciation? No, it takes you to actually say, hey, what could I do to contribute to the health and well-being of this relationship? I'll say this. We might do it after the break. I'll tell you a good little story about this.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll come back to that. That is boredom. And I actually have another question I want to throw at you with regards to that. So we'll come back. That's all coming on the other side of this break. In the meantime, love you to have a look around the folks on the Family Australia website. That's families.org.au. Our special guest is the CEO of Focus on the Families Australia, Brett Ryan. And of course, the Momentum website, momentumaustralia.org. It is Momentum with Tim and Des and Brett Ryan. We're going to come back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at momentumaustralia.org.
All right, welcome back to the second part of this week's show. Tim and Des with you, and our special guest is the CEO of Focus on the Family Australia, Brett Ryan. We're talking at 12 common marriage problems, and we're about halfway through at number 6, which was boredom. And before the break, Brett, you teased a story that you wanted to share with us about this.
Yeah, I was only on a flight, and I was going to a place called Emerald, and I think I spoke to another podcast ago. And on this particular flight, I gave my a ticket to the lady, and she goes, where's Emerald? And I said, oh, it's up in Queensland. And she goes, oh, that sounds lovely. What are you going to do? Are you going on holidays, or are you going on business? I said, I'm going on business. I'm actually running a marriage conference. And she goes, really? She goes, what? And she asked me some more questions about what I do for a living. And it's a great conversation starter. And she goes, oh, that sounds like a wonderful thing. She goes, oh, I've been married for 25 years. And she goes, but it's a bit boring, she says. And I said, well, is he a good man? Oh, he's lovely. He's absolutely lovely. He's a beautiful man. I said, well, have you told him that? No, I couldn't say that to him. I said, you just told a complete stranger how beautiful and how lovely he is. Why don't you go and tell him first? She goes, oh, I couldn't do that. He doesn't say it about me. I said, well, that's transactional. I said, that's transactional. You're saying something only if you get something back. I said, why don't you go home tonight and tell him how beautiful and wonderful and how you told a complete stranger this same story? And she goes, I think I could do that. She goes, do you have a card? I said, yes, I do. And I just thought, you know, this is a woman who's been married for 25 years and realizing she was saying she was in that rut, she was in that boredom phase, but they have to make the effort. And it starts with who you are in the mirror. What are you doing contributing to the health and well-being of the relationship?
Yeah, that's a really good story. I love that.
Yeah, it's cool. So, Brett, I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, for those of us who've been married any length of time, there is a season where we can slip into that, you know, it becomes routine. And as far as routine, you know, when kids come along, we get to this space, and particularly as dads, we can feel like, you know, my Monday to Friday is just work. I come home, then it's kids. Saturday, I might be doing some jobs or sport with the kids, and then Sunday's church. And then, you know, I maybe get a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon, and then we're back into routine Monday, and the cycle repeats, and we can get into that. And you know, we've heard from and we've had conversations with, I'm talking about Des and I here, you know, and seen people in the just blow up their lives essentially, looking for some excitement. They'll go and have an affair or do something stupid or go and do this, that, and the other. And of course, it's not just men. I mean, we can all do that when we reach that stage in life. But speaking to that space, particularly for guys who might be in the routine of, you know, I'm in that slog right now. You know, there's not a spare moment to myself. My wife and I barely see each other. We're passing ships in the night. It's become a bit humdrum, boring, and I'm looking for some excitement.
Yeah, it's a reality that many people have faced, and be many people listening saying, hey, I'll put my hand up for that. And life can get really boring and it can be very routine, but at the same time is that you can either make a choice of how you see this life, and even the boring and even the routine and mundane things can still be enjoyable. You can still choose joy, or you can have a stinking attitude. What can you do? You can control that. Those who think, well, the grass is always greener on the other side, and try something else and to see, but you have to look at the ripple effect. What's the consequences? If you say, for example, the affair, what's the domino effect of that? What is going to happen? Not only would you destroy a relationship, but you also have your children and they are collateral damage. They are, you know, they will see this and it can destroy whole families. The ripple effect is enormous. So it is a significant cost. So what I would say to people is don't have your children being your relationship child-centric. You need to make your relationship centric and investing in that. And that may be putting in the calendar at the beginning of the year, we're going to go away for this weekend. We're going to organize the kids to get away. So there's something to look forward to, something significant. It may be let's put in the calendar a date night once a month, that we're going to put this as a high priority. It's like if anyone sees the metaphor of a glass jar with rocks, and then they put pebbles and then sand and then water. Let's put the rocks, your relationship, as a priority, because sometimes we can neglect those things and we can put the kids being the most important, and that's not good because they're going to leave the nest and you're going to look at each other and you're going to say, who are you? It's that time. So you can make it as great and as grand, and you have control of how you choose your attitude towards the routines in life, but don't look elsewhere. Look internally how you could improve the health and well-being and find new things to do and exciting things to do. And it doesn't have to be, you know, don't have to jump out of planes to be exciting. You can still find new things. And I look at my wife now, and we've been married for over 3 decades now, and I still am on a discovery about what drives her, what motivates her. And I have to be a student of my spouse. And it's my job to see her being fulfilled in God's given gifts and her talents and see them becoming fulfilled. And I need to be her cheerleader. And that is exciting for me. And even though there may be some routine and mundane things that everyone has to face with, but I can choose how I approach that.
It's about attitude. Really, yeah, The next one is interesting. It's about disrespecting boundaries. And you know, there's so many of us. I mean, I certainly have fallen under that camp when I was married. And it's so easy to start and move boundaries and adjust boundaries to suit ourselves and so forth, and not respecting other people's boundaries.
Yeah, and I think it's important to allow our spouse to be individuals and not being controlled, because that's, dare I say, that's towards narcissistic tendencies, you know, controlling what they do, wear, dress, controlling who they're interacting with, controlling their finances, you know, that's very controlling, and that is emotional abuse, and that no one thrives in that environment. In fact, what I said earlier about a safe heart, you know, if you want to have true intimacy, you need to have and make sure the environment's safe. But if you are controlling the boundaries, controlling everything, then it's going to erode that trust. It's going to erode the relationship. So we need to allow our spouse to express their opinions, express themselves, give each other space, and we don't have to be in each other's pockets all the time. In fact, it's actually all the evidence that says that healthy relationships allow for the ebbs and flows, the breathing in, the breathing out. If we're with each other all the time, it can actually place enormous tension. But we allow them and say, hey, go and do what you do best, and then let's come together and you can share what you've been doing. And then we can actually be the richer for it if we allow and respect each other's boundaries and their individual tendencies.
And the other side of that, Britt, isn't it, when you get that closeness and you do things together all the time and you don't have your individual lives, there's no room for a mate in that world. So whenever you do get into strife, and we've talked about it continually on Momentum, having somebody you can be close to and intimate with, you know, as two guys together, and you can share your life and so forth, that disappears when you get that absolute closeness too much.
Yeah. And then we talk about being complementarians, you know, complementing each other. We're not dependent on the other person. We are both individuals. We meet together. But, you know, the other person doesn't complete us, and they certainly shouldn't control us.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned tension before, Brett. Let's go to number 8, which is stress. I mean, let's be honest, stress can affect all of us to some degrees. It's, you know, most days there's probably a degree of stress that we have in our lives. But that can be really damaging to a relationship and a marriage.
Yeah, and we're seeing that increasing all the time. Financial stress or mortgage stress is causing so much disruption in relationships. And mortgage stress is defined as, you know, all your repayments, either rent or mortgage, 30% of your income is going towards you know, paying those aspects of paying the down the bank or the landlord. And we're not seeing just 30% now, we're seeing up to 50 to 55% plus. And so it's placing enormous stress. But we also have not only just financial stress, we have, you know, emotional stress, and we have, you know, health stress. And knowing that, you know, if we don't process it ourselves and help our spouse process it in a healthy way, it's going to cause much friction and much tension. And unfortunately, it can lead into really disunity and disharmony within a relationship.
Number 9 is interesting because we talked about core values in a previous show and coming into a relationship, making sure that we're aligned at certain levels in our relationship. And yet the truth is, as you would know, Brett, you know, you've been married over 30 years now. And of course, over that time, different things come along, and that creates an opportunity for you to potentially have a different opinion or a different value around something that perhaps you never explored when you first got married. And these things come up and you both see it differently, and you're not sure how to navigate that.
Yeah, and that can change over time, but that's the reason why you want to have a good foundation at the beginning. You know, if you have a different foundation at the beginning, it's going to end up in a far worse situation later on. So having a value system at the beginning of before you get married, that's important. But even when you've got married, life does throw in different opinions and politics, and we look at the gender ideology, and that can cause a amount of friction. How we parent, you know, that we're going to have the good cop, bad cop scenario. You want to be on the same page as best you can. And if there is a difference, let's see if we can narrow the gap on how you see life together. How you manage finances is another thing. You know, one wants to be generous, the other one wants to be a Scrooge. The other one wants to spend, the other one wants to save. You need to talk those through. And so differing in opinions is not necessarily a bad thing, but we need to be able to value and hear what the other person says. But if there's this completely disconnect, and I've been helping a young man going through this, he's been married for about 15 years, and they are nearly complete. They're still working on their relationship, but they're finding their whole value systems. She's had a faith crisis, and that's caused a lot of tension as well. And that's, you know, that disconnect, but they're still working on their relationship and communicating and trying to navigate those things. You know, if one spouse decides not to continue with their faith, you know, it's not a deal breaker per se. That person needs to make sure that that person is the number one human on this earth. And you can still make it work. So even if there's unequally yoked, it doesn't mean it's a deal breaker. And if that person's happy for you to go to church and happy for you to, you know, go along, and maybe it's a different, and it's sad and it's a reality, but doesn't mean it needs to end in divorce or separation as a result.
Yeah. Number 10, you mentioned quickly there, and we've talked about this before, money problems, that can be a biggie for couples. But let's go to number 11, trauma or grief, which, you know, that's really interesting. As you said, I mean, situations are going to happen, things are going to happen. And the way that we deal with those, I suppose, individually, but most importantly as a couple, will either determine whether we get stronger together or we allow that stuff to push us apart.
Yeah. And when we do have those traumatic experiences, and whether, I mean, we saw it with floods, we've seen it with fire, we've seen it through, you know, a disability, or if we've seen a death of a child or something like that, or, you know, it can cause you either to run towards God or run away from God, and it can cause you to run together or it can cause you to go poles apart. And so how we go through it, how we navigate, we don't have to be always in line with everything, because we're going to be processing things differently, but we want to be able to work through it together and process. And you know, like if for example, there's a death, you know, you don't just walk through it and say, get on with life. We have to work through the grief. And there are some times when we need to have some professional counseling through that. And we've got, we've got actually an excellent download of dealing with grief on our website, just processing this. And so I'd highly recommend if grief is one of your happenings in your world, be better informed on how you navigate grief and doing it together.
Just going back to servanthood as well, and the fact that, you know, our partners, we serve alongside and we're servants to them. And so if they're going grief or trauma, you know, you're there for them. You submit to where they are.
Yeah. And I mean, we don't want them to stay in that space. They need to start moving forward.
Yes.
And so if they're staying stuck, then you might need to have that external help. Time is a great healer, but there is a time when you have to, you know, give them a little nudge. Don't nag, don't badger. But if the way that they're dealing with their trauma or their grief is compromising their health and well-being or those around them, then you need to seek professional help.
The final one, and rather ironically, I think it's funny to have this as a common marriage problem, social media as a marriage problem. I think that's kind of funny. But, I mean, look, it's a thing, right? I mean, let's be honest. Social media can cause some rifts.
Very, very much so. Because we can, we can be addicted to what's happening on social media. So it's a distraction that we're spending more time on technology rather than with our spouse. Another thing that we can have is that we, you know, just be curious. And an old flame we had in high school, what, I wonder what they're doing. And, in fact, in England, they did a study and they found that one in five or one in six marriages, I think, I can't quote the actual number, so I apologize for that. Actually, it was because someone actually reached out through social media, and that led for one thing to another. That emotional connection, emotional infidelity led to a sexual infidelity. So social media by itself is not necessarily a bad thing. But if you're doing things that you know are not healthy, and you're doing things behind and hidden in secret, then that's a big red flag for yourself to know that this is not going to end well.
And a simple things like if you're taking your partner out to a restaurant for dinner, don't have your phone in your hand.
Put it away. And you might say, well, I've just left it to the side and I've even turned it upside down. Well, that's fantastic. Good on you. But if as soon as it bings, buzzes or chimes and you pick it up, then what you're saying to the other person is that your company is not as important as who's the other person. So we need to be fully present. And social media can be a good thing, but it also can be a significant trap.
Yeah. 12 common marriage problems. That's been our topic this week. And again, you can find more and more resources at families.org.au. That's families.org.au. It is the website for Focus on the Family Australia. We've been chatting with the CEO, Brett Ryan. Brett, it's always a great conversation. Lots of things in there, again, that we can start looking at and potentially applying to our own lives and our marriages and relationships. So as always, really appreciate your input on Momentum. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. Thanks, Blaine.
It's an honor.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.